Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, I want to thank you that as we get into the Word, as we dig into what you have for us this morning, that your Spirit's ministering deep to our hearts. I thank you just for the awesome time of worship we could have, just focusing on your love for us and just receiving from you, Father. I thank you that you're glad to be here this morning, that you're glad we're here, and that you've got something special for each and every single one of us, that you're not standing with arms folded waiting for us to perform or something, but you're standing with open arms ready just to receive us, ready to love on us and show us the riches of your glorious love, Father. And we just welcome you here, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're ministering deep into our hearts, that you're ministering truths which are going to set us free and help us to walk in more and more of what you've got for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Well, we're talking about, we're continuing with our series which we started last week on finances or money. And I'm sure that if you weren't here last week, today will bless you still. I know that when I said we're continuing talking about money, that some of you had some kind of twisting in your stomach. Some of you started to have heart palpitations or started to sweat and say, did I have to come to church this week when they're talking about money? And some of you checked out, maybe even started talking about lunch or thinking about lunch. I didn't hear any talking. But I just thought, let me just say, start off by saying we all have different reactions to the topic of finances or money. And I'm going to explain the biology of it this morning, firstly. So just to start off, in your heart, there's a string attached from your heart to your wallet. And so every time a preacher talks about money, it pulls on your heart and you start to have palpitations. So that's what happened this morning when we started off. And the reason for it, you know, last week, during the message and even after the message, as I was meditating on the message through the week, I really just started to see what we were talking about last week, even in a deeper way, and God was just showing me some things on what we were talking about. So there'll be a bit of what we spoke about last week, this week in the message, and just looking at it in a different way and going a bit deeper, and I know it's going to be a blessing to you. But, you know, the importance of this topic is that it reveals the attitude of your heart. Okay? How you manage money, and what you think about money really reveals the attitude of your heart. And that's what Jesus said. We're going to look at those verses in a moment. But before we get there, you know, if you study the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus talks about money more than anything else. Okay, so it's an important issue. But when you read about it and we read about money, we're saying amen. And, you know, we're kind of learning from Jesus when we studying it in the scripture. But as soon as someone from the pulpit starts talking about money, what are some of the reactions that we get? You know, a lot of people are like, oh, they're just after your money. And some ministers are. Okay, we've already taken up the offering. So if you want an opportunity to practice or act on your faith, then you have to go and find a bucket at the back after the service. But the point is that, you know, we've already taken up the offering. So the purpose of this is more about your heart than it is about your money, because that's what Jesus was doing as well. He was more interested in men's hearts than he was in their money, don't you think? I think the Son of God, God himself, isn't that interested in a few coins or even notes. Okay, I think he's more interested in men's hearts, and that's why he focused on money. And so that's why we're focusing on it as well. You know, you could say, if I want to be more like Jesus, I should talk more on money. Amen. Anyway, I'll say amen. But, you know, there have been many abuses. There have been many abuses in the body of Christ, and you know, if you've been hurt by this topic, I've been in churches where they get you to fill in forms and tell you how much money, you know, they want you to say how much money you're earning, how much you're going to be giving tithe-wise, how much you're going to be giving towards the building fund, how much you're going to be giving towards X, Y, and Z, and then they phone you when you don't. And so, you know, we're not talking about the abuses of it, we're just talking about what does the Bible say about money. Because it's the greatest contender for our hearts, so it's an important topic. Okay, Jesus is interested in our hearts. And like we said last week, the topic of money is the least use of our faith. That's what scripture says. So the smallest use of faith, okay, let's put it like this. When you're exercising, you start with smaller weights, right? Okay. You know, that's kind of logical. You start with smaller weights and you build up the weights, because you can't just start with bigger weights if you haven't started with a smaller weight. So if finances is the smallest use of our faith, we've got to start there before we can start on anything else. And yet a lot of us automatically want to start ministering healing to people. And you can, but if you can't, if you're not using the least faith for finances, then you can't do it with anything else. Put it like this: finances is about trusting God. It's not about the money. And so if you can't trust God in the area of your money, which is involving pretty much every area of your life, then you can't trust God with the bigger thing. Okay, so this is why finances is such a vital topic, because it's the greatest contender for your heart. I mean, think about it. It involves every area of your life. Okay, finances is a very important topic because, you know, it'll affect your marriage. Many marriages, finances isn't the only contributing factor towards the breakup of marriages, but it's a large contributing factor. You know, to affecting relationships and families, your children, your destiny even. You know, finances is an important topic. Okay, Jesus spoke about it so much because it's the greatest contender for your heart. That's why it's important, is because he's after your heart, he's not after your money. He's after your heart, and yet so many of us think he's after our money, so we kind of build a wall. We're not interested in talking about money or listening to a message about money or studying up something about money, because money is very close to our heart. And if you've become defensive, this message is for you. You know, over the years, I've had many people tell me, you can't talk about money, you should just let God deal with it in people's hearts. And that would be irresponsible on my part as a shepherd, because I'm here to minister into every area of our lives. And if finances affects everything, then it's important. I mean, how many of us would like more money? It's not a trick question. Money is not evil. Everyone say money isn't evil. You know, even if you've got lots of money, I'm sure you'd like more. Okay? The motivation of that is another story, which we'll talk about another time. But Matthew chapter 6, let's look at verse 19. Okay, Jesus starts, I love this passage of Scripture. He's talking about trusting God. That's the main thing in this passage of Scripture. He's talking about trusting God, he's talking about finances, and he's talking about provision. And in Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." And so what he's first of all just saying is that, you know, we shouldn't be focused on. Now, it's not wrong to have stuff, but it's wrong if stuff has you. I'll say that again. It's not wrong if you have stuff, but it's wrong if stuff has you. It's not wrong to have money and wealth, but it's wrong if money and wealth has you. Okay, what does that mean? If you can't give it away, it has you. If you can't bless someone with it, it has you. It's got a grip on you. If you're being led by finances, it's got you. Okay, verse 20. But and what it also says in verse 19 there is that it's just Jesus trying to put things into perspective for us and show us that, you know, money and wealth isn't something eternal. It's not something of eternal value. It's something of temporary value. If you don't believe me, go and burn it. Okay? It doesn't last. Just go and spend it. You know, give it away. It doesn't last. Okay? So money is a temporary thing. It's not an eternal thing. And then Jesus says in verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." So he's saying that you can have treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves cannot break in and steal. Okay, so he's saying that, you know, you've got to put things in eternal perspective. Okay, and we're going to talk about how to take something which is of temporary value and make it eternal. We'll talk about that sometime. But the point here is in verse 21, where Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Okay, so where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Yeah, you may have been in a situation, and if you haven't, you can picture this as I tell you the illustration. But you've just got like a brand new phone. Let's say this is your brand new phone. Is it, how new is it? 2 years old, but it's quite in good condition there. So if I was to drop it, it would be a problem. Okay, so this is a treasured possession because it's all his communication and everything like this. And if I was to drop it by accident and it smashed, it would be a problem. Okay, you can fix it. So it wouldn't break the relationship, hopefully, but it would break the phone. Okay, but the point I want you to see is that where your treasure is there, ever since then, he's been watching me. And if I was to take your phone, the same thing would happen. Yeah, thank you, Etienne. If you just got a new car and someone that you don't really trust 100% was to take the keys and just go for a ride, your heart wouldn't be here right now. It would be wherever your car is. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Your investments, if you're making investments into something, you watch those investments because your heart is there. You're interested in it. Your interest is there. Okay? So this is why money is the greatest contender for your heart, but it also reveals where your heart is. Okay? A lot of people say, my heart is, yeah, I'm for this, I'm for that, or whatever, but yeah, the bottom line is if your money isn't there, if your treasure isn't there, then you're deceived. Okay? Money reveals the condition of your heart. So, we can tell where your heart is if we see how you're spending your money. So if you just take a quick inventory of your budget and see where you're spending your money, then you'll know, hey, my heart is over there. So, you know, I would trust for all of us, especially if you have a family, a spouse and children, then a large portion of your finances should be going into your family, which shows that your heart is for your family. That's not evil. That's not wrong at all. Yeah, you, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And so you have a vested interest in your family. Okay? But we need to learn, because money reveals the condition of our heart, we need to learn about how to manage finances. We need to learn what the biblical approach is with finances, and that's why we're talking about it. You know, you don't just stumble upon this by accident. You have to actually learn it. Okay? So with finances and riches, the first thing I want to talk about is that there are temptations and there are trials that we will all face. Okay, and it's not about having a lot of money or a little bit of money. You know, this applies to everyone, whether you have a lot or whether you have a little. Okay, it's not about the amount. So if we don't have the correct teaching or understanding of the topic, we're going to fall into many temptations and many dangers. We can all see that. Okay, we've seen that. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look at that verse. Verse 6, it says, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Okay, so the Bible calls great wealth what? Contentment. Okay, a lot of people aren't content with what they have, and then their hearts are messed up, and their lives are following in that direction. Verse 7, after all, we brought nothing with us when we came into this world. So how many of you had any of the wealth when you were born? When you came out your mother's womb? No, we didn't have anything. You didn't bring anything into this world, and you can't take anything with you when you leave it. That just shows you that money is not eternal. Finances is not eternal. Okay, wealth is not eternal. Verse 8. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Okay, verse 9. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation. It's not wrong to be rich. The Bible here is showing us that it's wrong to long to be rich. As believers, prosperity is something which should follow us. It's not something that we should follow after. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so when we put things in perspective and we put our main priority first, which is God, His kingdom, knowing and understanding His righteousness, then what does it do? It brings provision and prosperity in our lives, and we're not even chasing after it. Okay? But those who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. And I'm sure you've got some testimonies on that, but I'm not going to, you know, we don't have to even get into testimonies on this, because we've all seen examples of this where, you know, finances really is just, it brings, I like how it puts it, foolish and harmful desires which plunge them into ruin and destruction. So finances, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot, can destroy you. Okay? For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Doesn't say money is evil. It says money is the root of all kinds of evil. Okay? And some, I know some of you used to quote that verse the wrong way, right? Money is evil. Money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. Money is the root of all kinds of evil. Okay? Some people craving money. So if you're craving money, that's wrong. We shouldn't be having such a bondage to something so temporary that we just need more and we want more and it affects our health and it affects our relationships and we just keep, you know, chasing more and more and more. We shouldn't be living like that. Okay, it says, some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves into many sorrows. Now, if you're making decisions based on finances and you're craving more money, it can pull you away from what's truly important. And what's truly important is your relationship with God. Because that's what's going to last for eternity. See, remember, we're not talking about money right now as much as we're talking about your heart. We're talking about your heart. We're talking about your, and what your heart's got to do is your got to do with is your relationship with God. And so if your heart is right and your it enables your relationship with God to be right, which means you're able to receive from God, you're able to enjoy your Christianity, you're able to be a good influence on the world that you live in. But if your heart isn't right, because all the issues of life flow from the heart, it means nothing in your life is going to be good. If your heart isn't right with regards to finances, it can't be right with in regard to God. That's why we've got to deal with this issue. Okay? Verse 11. Well, let's read verse 10 there at the end. It says, and pierce themselves with many sorrows. And so, you know, finances can be, you know, can bring a lot of sorrows with it. Verse 11, but you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these things. Pursue righteousness. So this is what we should focus on. Paul's writing and he's saying, this is what you should focus on. Run from focus on finances. Run from focus on trying to be rich. And focus on pursuing righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Okay, so, you know, the reason why he would want us to focus on righteousness is because understanding your identity in Christ, which is righteousness, would enable you to live a righteous life, but it also unlocks great faith, which means you're able to walk in more of the abundant life that God's got for you. A godly life. Everyone wants to live a godly life. Everyone wants you to live a godly life too. Your neighbor said amen. And along with faith. Love, perseverance, gentleness. You know, perseverance has got a lot to do with prosperity. You know, the Bible warns against getting rich quick. And it's talking about perseverance has got to do with patience. It's got to do with enduring. It's got to do with hard work. I did say it. Sorry. Next verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19, the New Living Translation again, it says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. So now we're putting it into perspective. Worldly wealth is unreliable. If you've ever lost everything, you know that. You can have it all and then you can lose it all in an instant. Worldly wealth is not reliable. And here, this verse shows us that it's talking about your heart. It's not talking about your money. So once again, I'm not talking about your money. What am I talking about? Your heart. What are we dealing with? Your heart. We're not talking about finances. It says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money. You trust with your heart. And so God's interested in that you're trusting in Him with your heart, not in your money with your heart. Okay? Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. So I like that because it's showing that one of the purposes of finances is for you to enjoy. I don't think you hear that a lot in church. God is interested in you and in your heart, and He wants you to enjoy the fruits of your labor. God wants you to enjoy the fruits of your labor with your family. He wants you to enjoy the riches of your wealth. He doesn't want you to suffer. God is a loving Father. He's not interested in your suffering. He doesn't want you to suffer. He wants you to do well and prosper. Okay, we looked at that last week. Okay, then verse 18. Tell them to use their money to do good. Okay, they should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. always being ready to share with others. So this is just saying how, you know, because of our generous nature that we have now from Christ, we spoke about that last week, we should be generous. Sometimes we just need a prodding to do so. Okay, verse 19. By doing this, we'll be storing up their treasures as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life. Now what this is saying is that you can take your finances, something which is temporary, and by using what you have, the temporary, to do something good, it's actually got an eternal reward. You're taking finances and you're being a blessing through your generous nature, and as a result, it you're sowing into eternity. Okay? That's what it's saying. So let's look at blessing and prosperity. We spoke about this a little bit last week, but I just wanted to define blessing and define prosperity, because as I've been meditating on this, it's really, really blessed me. But blessed. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So what this is saying is that we're already blessed. Okay? If you look at it, it's all in past tense. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You're not trying to get blessed. You are blessed. You're not begging God for blessing. You're not begging God to bless your business, because you're there, it's blessed. Okay, you can speak the blessing of God over your business or over your life, but you're not begging God for blessing because you are already blessed. So you should be declaring over yourself and confessing, "I am blessed," not saying, "God, please bless me." Pray of Jabez's old covenant. You shouldn't be needing to pray the prayer of Jabez. "God bless me indeed." If you don't know what that is, don't worry. "God bless me indeed, enlarge my territory," etc., etc. You don't need to do that because you are blessed because you're in Christ. Amen. Prosper. Okay, let's look at prosper. So blessed, you are already blessed. Okay, prosper. 3 John verse 2, "I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Okay, so this is showing that the other verse, Ephesians 1, 3, showed us that we are blessed. Okay? This verse shows us that the God's desire for us is that we would prosper. Okay? So some of us sitting here today, some of us are blessed. All of us, if you're a Christian, you're blessed. But some of us might be prospering and some of us might not be prospering. Yeah, and this verse puts it into three perspectives: spirit, soul, and body. In your spirit, you're prospering. Okay, you're blessed in your spirit. Your spirit's doing fine, but in your emotions, in your soul, in your intellect, in your thinking, you might not be prospering. That's one of the reasons why you're not prospering in the physical. Okay, because it says there, "I wish above all things that they may prosper and be in health." The word "may" is prosper, is talking about do well in business. So, God's desire for us is that we would do well in business and be in health. Health talking about physical health. Okay? Some of us might not be prospering in business. Some of us might not be prospering in our health. In your spirit, you're fine. Because you're blessed there. But now you want to see that blessing translate into prosperity in your physical being. Amen? How many of you love the blessing of God trapped up in your spirit? You don't want it there. You want it in the physical. Amen? You want it to manifest in the physical, because that's then it means you can enjoy it now. It's not just for one day when you die and go and be with Jesus. Amen? Psalm 1 verse 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." Okay, so this, I think it's not even worth asking the question. Every single one of us wants to prosper. Every single one of us, if you put your hand to something, you want it to prosper. You want your work to prosper. You want your family to prosper. If you do gardening, you want your garden to prosper. Amen? So how does that happen? Well, this verse is showing us, if you're connected to the life source, which is Jesus, that life should flow through you into whatever you're touching. But it's saying there, whatever we do will prosper. Everyone say do. Do is it's action. Whatever you do shall prosper. Which means whatever you don't do cannot prosper. Yeah, I know this freaks some people out. But whatever you don't do cannot prosper, but whatever you do do prospers. Okay? So God wants you to prosper, but how do you prosper now? So we're going to look at really just practically in a moment, how do we prosper? But before we do that, I want to talk just again, just quickly about the purpose of this prosperity. Why does God want you to prosper? First verse is 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 from the Amplified Bible. And it says, if anyone fails to provide for his own, talking about your own family, and especially for those of his own family, he has denied the faith by disregarding its precepts and is worse than an unbeliever. So this is saying that God wants you to look after your family. There's a scripture in Psalm 35 verse 27. Psalm 35 verse 27 says that God delights in your prosperity. Why? Because he's a good father and he delights in your well-doing. So God delights in your prosperity. Okay? He delights in you being looked after, but why? So that you can also look after your family. He delights in your family's well-being. If you don't believe that, then you don't know the true nature of God yet. You don't know that he's a good, loving, heavenly father who only has good things in store for you. Okay? So, you know, the first purpose of prosperity, one of the purposes is that he wants you to do well because he loves you and he wants you to look after your family. He wants to look after your family through you. Deuteronomy 8:18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. So the second purpose of prosperity from this verse is that we can help establish God's covenant. It says there, you shall remember the Lord your God, that is he that gives thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. So one of the reasons he wants us to be wealthy, he wants us to be prosperous, is so that we can be generous towards the mission of reaching the world with his love and his goodness. Okay? That's one of the purposes of the prosperity. So how do we prosper? So that we can be a blessing to our families. How do we prosper? So that we can help establish the covenant and reach the world. Because, you know, the gospel's free, but it takes money to get it to the world, right? It does take money. So, I think in order to understand this, you've got to understand spirit, soul, and body. So I'll take Etienne, Lucas, and Devin. If you guys can come stand up. We haven't done. You can stand up in the middle here on the fake grass. So you've got spirit, soul, and body, okay? So spirit, soul, and body. Okay, we always look smaller in the physical than we are in the spiritual. Amen? Okay. So the Bible says we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Now, in your spirit, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. In your spirit, you've already got everything you need for life and for godliness. You might not be feeling like it. You might not be thinking like it. The problem for many Christians is, for all of us, is here. He isn't a problem, but the problem is in your soul, where you're not thinking according to your new nature. You're not thinking according to who you are in Christ. You're not thinking according to what God says about you. You're thinking according to how you feel or how you look. Sorry. So, you know, in the physical, like if you take healing as an example, the Bible says, 1 Peter 2 verse 24, it says that you are, by his stripes, you were healed. But many of us don't think healed, so we aren't feeling healed. And so you need to get the healing from the physical into the, or from the spiritual into the physical. Okay? It's the same thing with prosperity. And here you're blessed and you're prosperous. But we don't think like that. We think in poverty. Even if you've got lots of money, sometimes we think in poverty. And so we aren't prospering in the physical. And that scripture says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So true prosperity starts in the soul. It starts in your thinking. It starts in your mind. It starts in your intellect. And that allows the flow from the spiritual to go into the physical. Okay? Just stay up here for a minute in case I need you. Deuteronomy 8:18 again. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. Okay? He gives you power to get wealth. He doesn't just give you wealth in the physical. He gives you the ability to get wealth. So in your spiritual, you've got the ability. And so what you need to do is in your soul, you need to start trusting God for this divine wisdom. You've got the mind of Christ. I think we looked at that last week. And for the mind of Christ, which is in your spirit, you need to start to think like God and you'll get divine ideas. You'll get creativity. You'll get entrepreneurial kind of ideas and things like that. And then you can start to do something. So, you know, your body, you start to put your hand to something and the blessing and the power starts to flow. But as long as he's touching his hand to nothing, he can't prosper. You're blessed, but you can't prosper unless you put your hand to something to allow the spiritual blessing to flow into the physical. Okay? And in order to put your hand to something in your soul, you've got to believe it. If you're really putting your hand to something in faith, then in your heart you're believing it, which means you can see the flow of it. Amen? Another scripture, Proverbs 10 verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. So the blessing is inside of you. You've got to come to realize that. You've got to come to believe that in your soul, in your thinking. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Now, over here, you could have all the wealth, all the prosperity and everything like this, and if it all gets taken away from you in a moment, you're still blessed. Many of us see everything get taken away from us and we're like, oh, where did the blessing of God go? Nowhere. It's still in your spirit. You've still got the blessing inside of you. You may have lost stuff, but you can get stuff back because you've got inside of you, you've got the thing that got the stuff. Okay? The goose that laid the golden egg, you know the story. If you go after the golden eggs, they don't last for long. I mean, you can spend it, you can give it away, whatever. But if you get the goose that lays golden eggs, you continuously have golden eggs. Okay? And so you've got the goose inside of you here. The golden eggs come here. You can lose the golden egg, sorry. You're supposed to fall when I do that. Just a joke. So, anyway, so you got the goose in here, now you want to see the golden eggs. Okay, so it's the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. If you're just focused on the golden eggs over here, it can lead to a lot of sorrow. Because golden eggs come and golden eggs go. But the blessing doesn't come and go. The blessing came and it stayed. And when you realize how blessed you are, hey, this, when this prosperity comes, it adds no sorrow with it. It's effortless. You're not striving for blessing or prosperity because you've already got it. All you did was put your hand to something, like you take a hose pipe and you attach it onto, we don't do this anymore in the Western Cape, I know. But remember those days when we used to take hose pipes and we used to attach them to the tap outside. Then you turn the tap on and the water starts to flow through the hose pipe. Some of you don't know this. And then it would get to where it needs to be. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about transferring the blessing into the physical through the tap here of your thinking. But your thinking needs to be in line with God's word in order to see the blessing flow. Amen? You can sit. Thank you. Let's give them a hand. They were good. Good models. Deuteronomy 28 verse 8. Deuteronomy 28 verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. Now, we're going to talk about this in a later stage, all these different things in this verse. But it continues and it says, and in all that you set your hand unto, and he shall bless you in the land that the Lord is going to give you. So it says there that everything you put your hand to shall be prosperous. You'll be blessed in everything you put your hand to. But once again, if you don't put your hand to anything, you can't be blessed. This is grace. Okay, if you've got a legalistic mindset, then you're working hard and trying to do things in order to please God so that you can be blessed. But if you've got a grace mindset, you're living in a place of rest, where you're no longer striving to be blessed, you're no longer striving to impress God, you're not trying to do anything to get the blessing from God, you realize that He loves you before you even realize that He loved you, you've got the blessing, and so now all you're doing is you're activating it by laying your hands onto something and seeing it flow. You're not begging God to let the blessing flow. All you're doing is following the law of putting your hand to something and the blessing flows. So for some of you this week, what you need to do is when you go to work, if there's barrenness at work, if there's barrenness in whatever you're doing, When you put your hand to something this time, believe the blessing is flowing. Declare the blessing. Don't, God, please let the blessing flow now. You declare the blessing is flowing because you are following a principle from God's word of putting your hand to something to see it prosper. Amen. Okay, so, you've got the ability to prosper, but basically what this verse is saying is we need to firstly trust God and put our hand to something. If you're not putting your hand to something, you're not truly trusting God. Some of you might be unemployed and you're looking for work. That's a different category. But you can still trust God by going out there and continue looking for work. And doing it in faith where, God, I thank you, I'm going to get that job. Or trusting God for a creative idea to start something. And then he gives you a creative idea and you can start something and be a blessing to other people. Okay, Joshua 1 verse 7. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. So how do we be strong and courageous? It's by following God's word. That takes true strength and true courageousness. Okay, it's to follow God's word by following his promises. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, he will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. If we keep our mind stayed on Jesus, if we keep our mind and hearts fixed on his promises and his word, we will stay in perfect peace. Peace isn't something that you beg God for. Peace is a natural byproduct of focusing on God. So the more you focus on God, the more peace you're going to have. Okay? And by focusing on God, we're not talking about, oh God, please help. We're talking about getting into the Word and taking the promises and meditating on what God said, not what you think He said. Okay? Following the truths and principles of God's Word makes us prosper in whatever we do. That's why we're focusing on finances and we're looking at how do we prosper? How does God want us to prosper? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might be rich. So we are prospered. You know, yes, you put your hand to something to see the prosperity flow, the blessing flow to produce prosperity. But you've got to realize you don't produce the prosperity. Okay? You don't produce the prosperity. You release the prosperity. When you release the blessing that's in you, prosperity is a natural byproduct. Okay? Can I have Lucas and Devin again, please? So Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Okay, so you can be Jesus this time. Come here, Kim. Okay, so here's the branch, the vine, Jesus. And then this, just do it like shoulder to shoulder, there we go. So this, let's say, you've got to be a proper branch. So this is the branch, okay? This is the vine. Where does the fruit develop? Where do you see the fruit? Over here, on the end of the branch. Okay, so the grapes are over there. It's not wine yet. Okay, the grapes are there. Where, the life that produces that fruit comes from? Here, the branch, the vine, sorry. So the nutrients come from the earth and whatever, and it comes through this the branch and the stem, let's call it, it's easier. And it goes into the branch, and then it produces the fruit. So this is Jesus and this is you. Jesus is in you. You've got the blessing. You've got Jesus. The prosperity flows because you're connected to Jesus. And as you allow what's inside of you to be released out of you, you start to see fruitfulness. Fruitfulness in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, but also fruitfulness and prosperity. Okay, thank you guys. You can take another seat. I hope you sit in the front again. So, you know, the word here, it says, he became, though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. You know what the word rich there? We kind of try to spiritualize it, some of us, to excuse why we're poor. You know what the word rich there means? It means wealthy. Increase in goods. It's talking about something tangible. So this is saying that, you know, on the cross, Jesus didn't have anything. He lost everything so that we could gain everything. So he wants us to be prosperous and to do well in goods, in worldly wealth. Why? So you can have a good life, so you can enjoy the fruits of your labor, so that you can look after your family and help expand the kingdom. Help reach people with the message of God's unconditional love and grace through the finished work of Jesus. That's why. Okay, that's the purpose. So, we've got this, the blessing in our spirits. We need to, by faith, put our hands to something to see it prosper. So for some of us, maybe we need to put our hands to something. But for all of us, I suppose it's a case of putting our hands to something in faith and declaring what God declares in His Word. That the blessing's in me, so I'm going to see this prosper because I'm putting my hand to something. Okay, we're not striving for the blessing. We've already got it. We've got the blessing inside of us. We're not striving for prosperity either. We're releasing it. When you put your hand to something in faith, you're releasing the prosperity because of the blessing inside of you. Okay, so how do we release the blessing of God that makes us prosper? Trust God, firstly. Trust God, firstly. It's about trusting God. Remember, we started off by saying that Jesus isn't after our money. He's after our hearts. He's after your heart. Okay? Money reveals where your heart is. Okay? Money reveals where your heart is. Look at your expenses and you'll see where your heart is. For those of you who are part of the church, if you're a guest, I'm not talking to you, but if you're part of the church and you're not giving anything towards the ministry, your heart is not in the ministry, even if your bum is. We appreciate you being here, but I'm just saying that if you're not giving into the ministry, then your heart isn't in the ministry. Do you want your heart to be in the ministry? Give into the ministry. Okay, so it's trusting God. We're talking about heart. We're not talking about money in itself. Number two, so how do we release the blessing of God that makes us prosper is put your hand to something. Okay, God has placed gifts and talents inside of you. He's placed creative ideas inside of you. They're no good inside of you. He's placed ideas inside of you, gifts and talents inside of you, which are no good inside of you. You've got to let them outside of you. Okay, you've got to do something. You've got to put your hand to something. Okay, and when you put your hand to something, when you release those gifts, when you use those talents, then you can start to be a blessing. Or then you can start to prosper, and in prospering, you can start to be a blessing to others. Okay, so when you put your hand to something, when you work, the blessing flows and you have prosperity. But it starts with trusting God. When you're putting your hand to something, you're trusting God. And the blessing and the prosperity starts to flow out of you, and then you can start to see the prosperity so that you can be a blessing to your family, so that you can be a blessing to the kingdom, and so that you can help impact the world. But you can't do any of those things if you don't have anything. We give according to what we have, not according to what we don't have, the Bible says. And remember, it's not about the giving. Giving is part, you know, your Christian nature, we spoke about it last week, is generous. You've got the nature of Christ inside of you, which means you've got a generous nature, which means that we should be generous as Christians. But you can't be generous with something you don't have. I was recently blessed with a car. We were trusting for it for 3-4 months, and someone contacted me and said, God told me to give you a car. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. I told William, our 4-year-old, I said to him, when I drove into the driveway and he asked me, whose car is that? And I said, that's the car you prayed for, because we got him to pray for it. And I said, thank you for praying for Daddy for a car. And he said, it's a pleasure. That person who blessed me with a car couldn't have blessed me with a car if they didn't have a car to give me. I would love to bless people with cars, but I'm not there yet. You know, we often think about receiving things like that, but we don't think about giving things like that. I look forward to the day where I can rather give things like that because I don't need to trust for things like that. But the point is that you can't give what you don't have. I've got some money, so I can be a blessing through finances. I can be a blessing through my time. You know, but I can't be a blessing in things that I can't be a blessing in. That's why God wants to prosper us and be a blessing to us, so that we can be a blessing to others with what He's blessed us. But we don't have to worry. It's not about just giving. It's about also you looking after your family, being a blessing to your family and all of that. He's interested in that. We've looked at the scriptures. Amen. So Father, I want to thank you That you've called us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. That your desire as our Father is to see us blessed and prosperous and doing well, being generous on all occasions that we can be, and just helping to impact the world with your gospel so that we can spread your love, Father. I thank you for every single person that's here, Father. And I just thank you that wherever they are at in their life right now, whatever they're doing, I thank you, Father, that they are blessed. That as they follow the leading of your Spirit and put their hands to things and trust you, that even this week they're going to start to see the blessing flow and prosperity materialize. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, just for an abundance to start flowing in this family. Not just, you know, we receive from you and let the abundance flow, but not just that abundance, but an abundance amongst ourselves, Father. I thank you that we'll be generous towards each other as we receive from you, Father. There's just with your eyes closed, there's a couple of things I just feel in my heart that God wants to minister into. Firstly, it's if you're trusting God for employment, if you're looking for work or something like that, but then also you might have work, but you're trusting God for creative ideas, either to start work or within your business, you're trusting God for creativity to do something new. I don't know how else to explain it, but you know, you're trusting for something like that. If you're trusting for work or you're trusting for new ideas or something like that, I want to ask you just to stand because I'd like to pray with you. And maybe I'll just pray for the people who are seated. No, I'm joking. Father, I want to thank you for every person that's standing in faith. And I thank you that they're standing because they know that you can do all things, Father. They know that you are the God who makes the impossible possible. I thank you, Father, that your word says in John 14:14, that anything we ask in your name, it's ours. You said, ask and you shall receive. And so we're asking right now in the name of Jesus, that where employment is needed, it's theirs now in Jesus' name. That job jobs that people are trusting for, I thank you, Father, this week, as they go knock on doors, hand in CVs or whatever, they will find the job that they're needing, Father. And I thank you that that job is going to be a source of blessing to their families, to them, and to your kingdom, Father. I thank you, Father, for those that are standing, trusting for creativity, trusting for an idea, trusting for something entrepreneurial. I thank you, Father, that right now, that idea is just released into their minds right now in Jesus' name. Thank you that it's in their spirit. And I thank you that it can just be released now in Jesus' name so that they will be able to go, put their hand to something and see prosperity flow. I just want to encourage you. You know, God is the creator of the universe and he's your Father. That means you've got creative DNA. You've got creative DNA inside of you. So trust that creative DNA. Trust the creator inside of you. Trust your Father. Trust his ability in you. Don't trust in your own thinking. Don't trust in your own wisdom. Don't trust in worldly wisdom. Trust in him. He's inside of you. Just trust him. Just say thank you for the ideas. Even if you don't have them, you're not thinking of them yet. Begin to thank God for that job. Begin to thank God for that wisdom. Begin to thank God for that creativity. Because you've already got it. You just don't know it yet. So Father, I thank you for the testimonies which are going to come out of every single person standing. That this week, we're going to see an increase amongst the people that are standing in Jesus' name. I declare your blessing, I declare your favor, and I thank you, Father, that we're going to see great things happen in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.